Welcome to the Irish Times. Welcome to a giant of our time, which is the title of the editorial in the Irish Times on Saturday, December the 7th, 2013. I intend to read all of it. I haven't yet read it, but I'm going to share it at the same time as I'm reading it for myself. It begins with a quotation. "It always seems impossible until it's done," by Nelson Mandela. Madiba is no more. We have lost a giant of our time whose death impoverishes us all. Africa's towering world, statesman of the 20th century, a man whose life straddled and embodied the continent's extraordinary struggle and transition from colonial rule to democracy, and his own country's shaking off of the obscenity of apartheid, had managed both to inspire and reassure several generations of allies and former enemies. His courage, clarity of moral purpose, discipline and selflessness in 27 jail years, and his latter revealed warmth and generosity endeared him uniquely around the world and right across the political spectrum. A man who gave his brutalized, downtrodden people, and then millions internationally, the sense that through the non-racialism of his cherished African National Congress, now marking its centenary in the words of Thomas Paine, "We have it in our power to begin the world again." And that it would be a better place, and that their better place would be a place for all. Political division based on colour is entirely artificial, and when it disappears, so will the domination of one colour group by another," end quote, he told his 1964 sabotage trial. Quote, "The ANC has spent half a century fighting against racialism. When it triumphs, it will not change that policy." It was as good as his word. "The South African Constitution is a model to the democratic world. It remains one of the most enduring and eloquent speeches from the dock, a moving apologia pro vita sua for those like him who had turned only when all else failed to armed struggle for, quote, an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, an ideal for which I am prepared to die." Indeed, there is a political irony in his death. Mandela had suffered from lung problems since contracting TB during his 27-year imprisonment on Robben Island. He lived for the ideal of a multiracial South Africa and achieved it. But in the end, on his 96th year, the long arm of apartheid finally took him. Next paragraph, spirit of the revolution. For many of South Africa's people, Mandela was not only the source of their revolution, but its spirit and living guarantor. In the new state's early days, for many whites, including Afrikaners still today, it would be his moral authority and commitment to the inclusiveness and compromise that was the reassurance which made the difference between grudging acceptance of majority rule or fighting on to the bitter but inevitable end, or pacing up, packing up and leaving. Even in retirement, he has been largely absent from public life since 2004. Successive generations of the country's political leaders, Thabo Mbeki and Joseph Zuma, have found it essential to lean, sometimes uncomfortably, on Mandela's moral authority, even as they diluted his political legacy. It's a long shadow to walk in. Mbeki's resented being eclipsed by it and by Mandela's iconic status, particularly the reverential awe he inspired among whites. He called this attitude Mandela exceptionalism when he was being polite. And Mbeki's biographer, Mark Jeviser, writes, and quote, "the one good native syndrome when he was not." Paragraph headed Blueprint for Peace. History, our own included, reminds us that liberation movements do not easily make the transition to stable democracy or manage the process of reconciliation and forgiveness. Mandela's insistence that, quote, "if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then he becomes your partner." represents the essence of a universal template for peace processes, as relevant in Northern Ireland as potentially in Palestine and elsewhere. Part of that was a deal with the ruling white minority that, in truth, left many of its privileges largely in place, the jobs, the land, and the industrial wealth. A deal that made the disenfranchised majority wait, and still wait, patiently for their reparations. A deal that minimised the flight of white capital and expertise. It is difficult, however, to imagine any other leader who could have sold such a generous compromise and sharing so completely to his own supporters after long and bitter years of struggle. The ANC, always the broadest of coalitions, ranging from communists to black business leaders and African nationalists, and encompassing white liberals, impoverished shantytown dwellers, and opportunists, has struggled to maintain the idealism of its opposition years. Corruption and patronage are endemic, while the party increasingly appears to speak largely for the rising black middle class. But it is telling testimony to Mandela's enduring ideas and moral leadership that in a country still racked by social tensions and inequality, crime and poverty, one in four unemployment, and an apartheid of rich and poor, a country of gated communities, democracy is rooted firmly in the veldt, and orderly transfers of political power are the unquestioned norm. Mandela's revolution, however, remains unfinished. That's it, folks. That is what the Irish Times, which aspires to be the most authoritative voice in Irish media today, had to say. Let me just fill you in a little bit more. You may like to pause and dwell on what was before, but I'm going to quickly move on and just tell you that the letters to the editor page in the Irish Times is an institution that stretches back many, many years. Many, many people, I suppose including myself, have aspired to get a letter in the Irish Times. And there seem to be rather a lot of them here. So I'm going to just quote you at total random over the next 5 or 6 minutes what I read here. All the letters are headed Remembering Nelson Mandela. Colum Ford of Cabinteely in Dublin 18 says, "The man who made it too uncomfortable for us all to turn a blind eye to the unhappenings in his world." Ian O'Mara, Dublin 4. "In light of his legacy to human rights and peace, shouldn't one of Dublin's streets be renamed Nelson Mandela Street? Perhaps the members of Dublin City Council might examine the proposal and make a fitting tribute to one of the greatest champions of justice." I wonder, will many of these be from women? Noel Murphy, Howth, County Dublin. "If the government is serious about honouring Nelson Mandela's memory, perhaps the former Dunn Stores workers could be sent to represent the Irish people at the funeral." PJ Maloney from County Westmeath. Enda, that's Enda Kenny, the Irish teacher. "Steals Obama's words. Obama steals Edwin M. Staunton's. Where's all this plagiarism going to end?" Jason Power, still no woman by the way, Dublin 6. "It always seems impossible until it's done." Quote from Nelson Mandela, R.I.P. "If every person could aspire to live a life as inspiringly impactful as the colossal prisoner-to-president leader Madiba achieved, what a wonderful world we would live in." John Hanamy, Ranelagh, Dublin 6. "It is difficult to listen to the garbage coming out of the world leaders and the death of Nelson Mandela. When that great man spoke of the nobility of the human spirit, the world leaders listened. When he spoke of the injustices against the Third World, the illegal military interventions, and the Palestinians, they were deaf. Perhaps we might honour his memory now by simply remaining silent." Brendan McMahon from Naas, County Wicklow, says, "He was a credit to his race, the human race. I'm getting really pissed off that I don't find anything from a woman." Sam Quirk, "A great man has died. Mandela stood up to an oppressive and tyrannical government in search of equal rights and liberties for his people and succeeded. The fact that over three decades later he used the gun and the bomb to pursue these goals should not besmirch the man who was a beacon for hope for so many. I look forward to a similar level of national and international outpouring of grief when Martin McGuinness passes into the abyss. Here's Paul Doran. The sad passing on Thursday evening of Madiba is all part of life, and he will be remembered by everyone who seeks justice and fair play. Nelson Mandela was first and foremost a revolutionary, despised for a long time by many, especially our close neighbours, the British government. I think of two things in relation to Nelson Mandela. One is a young lady called Mary Manning, who stood outside her comfort zone and refused with others to take South African products during the horrible apartheid era. And the other is a young boy, 16, who got his first letter published in a newspaper in Belfast. I wrote about the apartheid regime and waited for my father to come home from work to show him the fruits of my labour. I have not stopped writing since. We salute you, Madiba. Sean McGrain. Mandela was inspirational and eternal. He insisted on the sovereignty of his land, pride in his race, culture, and heritage. He resisted invasion, sellouts, dissolution, and disaster. It's a pity these traits, lionized today by all, no longer seem to apply to us white Irish. I have to find a woman. I'm just completely pissed off. Oh yeah, here we are. Aisling Delahunty. At the present moment, I hear of the death of the great Nelson Mandela. I was transported back to my school days and reminded of my former English teacher, Jerry Murta, of St. Lawrence College, Loughlinstown, County Dublin. I can recall vividly a fundraising event organised by him on behalf of the Irish anti-apartheid movement in our school in 1988, long before it was fashionable to do so. I wish to acknowledge Mr. Murta's contribution to enlightening my class to the injustices that prevailed in South Africa, that prevailed in South Africa at that time, and for decades later, and to the sacrifices made by the remarkable Nelson Mandela, who had, after years of isolation, effected a sea change in South Africa. It enabled my fellow students and I to appreciate the difference one man can make in a society that treats people differently, mainly because of the colour of your skin. Going, but I'm looking for women. Emma Keane said, inevitably, the media is replete with articles detailing the travails, courage and heroics of beloved Nelson Mandela, now sadly passed. One element of his personality which I think deserves particular attention is his sense of honour. His sense of humour. In his infancy, Nelson Mandela was given an Xhosa, X-H-O-S-A, tribal name. I'll spell it, I can't say it. R-O-H-L-I-H-L-A-L-H-A. The colloquial meaning of which is troublemaker. The little troublemaker grew into a flamboyant lawyer. In one case, he defended a domestic worker accused of stealing clothes belonging to her madam employer. The said clothing was displayed on a table in court. As Mandela began his cross-examination of the employer, he approached the table of evidence and with the tip of his pencil picked up an item of ladies' underwear. He slowly turned to the witness box, exhibited the underpants, and asked, "Madam, are these yours?" The employer quickly replied, "No," too embarrassed to admit that they were. Because of her response and other inconsistencies in her evidence, the case was dismissed. Susan Carthy. I think this is the last one I'm going to read. Nelson Mandela emboldened humankind's ability to struggle and overcome oppression. In remembering him and paying tribute, it is difficult to conceive that at the outside, on the, that the outset of his struggle, the light is dreadful here, and throughout his incarceration, he was but one man, with one man's resources and abilities to instigate change. In his own words, he was an ordinary man who had become a leader because of extraordinary circumstances. The discrimination that he and fellow black South Africans experienced was institutionalized, recognized, and legitimized by the acceptance of the apartheid regime, both internationally and within South Africa's own borders for so long. Powerful economic and social forces engendered a culture that said to blacks, that's the way things are. But Mandela chose to challenge those underlying assumptions and query how it could be that society created, tolerated, and fostered something as, quote, unnatural as apartheid. One man, yet he dared to try to change the way things were. His struggle attracted support across the world, and even here, in the recessionary times of Ireland in the 1980s, ordinary supermarket workers sacrificed their livelihoods to recognize and support him. Ordinary women and men daring to change the way things are. As we eulogize Mandela, he can inspire each of us individually to challenge injustice, poverty, inequality, where we experience it, in the extraordinary circumstances in which we live. May he rest in peace and enjoy his sleep for eternity.